I would like to invite your attention in the Word of God this morning for a few minutes to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. Do I need to use this one? Okay. I want to say how much I appreciate the musicians who help us in the service and also the sound guys, video guys. Those things are a real help to a service, aren't they? And real blessing. And sometimes there's technical difficulties. That's the world in which we live, right? Nothing's perfect. And sometimes it's outside interference. Sometimes it's other things. And I hope you'll never let those distract you from letting God work in your heart in the course of a service. But so thankful for those who put all their time and energy into that. And sometimes when the pastor gives them the things at the last minute, especially, I appreciate that. Proverbs chapter number 14. This is Canada Day weekend, and we sang a moment ago, Oh Canada, I stand on guard for thee. And so for a moment this morning, I want you to consider with me, how do I stand on guard for my nation? How do I stand on guard for my nation? The picture that we have in our mind is of a soldier or a citizen who is willing to become a soldier, who goes to a battle front and who defends his country against an aggressive enemy. But it's not always the case. It's not always a soldier physically in terms of a member of the armed forces that we're talking about, and I want to deal with that for a moment this morning. Proverbs 14, here's a truth from the Word of God. Understand, I believe you're listening to somebody who believes the entire Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, is the very revealed word of the living God. It's true, every part of it. God wanted you to have it. He said it. He means it. It's real and it's true. Here's a principle you need to never forget. You must get cemented in your mind. Proverbs 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth. The word exalt means to lift up or to hold up. When we exalt the name of God, we're lifting up the name of God. We're holding up the name of God. So that which lifts up, we sing in our national anthem, Oh Canada, I'm trying to think of the words now, but in it says, we see thee rise, the true north, strong and free. We see thee what? We see thee rise. Well, what is it? I think it was 1908 that the original words were penned by the poem, O Canada, and then the first verse was later changed. But what was it that they saw? They were seeing a group of people, a society, come together, and they saw them making progress. And they said, we see thee rise. Well, I want to suggest to you that whether or not they understood this at the time or not, you should understand. And I need to understand that the Bible says what makes a nation rise, what lifts up a nation, is righteousness. Make no mistake about it. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If you go back one chapter to chapter 13 and verse 6, we have a similar statement made, and I could take you to several, but we don't have time this morning. But chapter 13 and verse 6 says, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. Righteousness keepeth, secures, protects, guards. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Same principle. If you have a nation full of people who depart from God, who delight in sin, that is not healthy for the nation. If the nation wants to prosper and wants to be lifted up and wants to progress, it needs to consider righteousness or keeping the ways of God. Jeremiah chapter 18, if you would please. Jeremiah chapter 18. One day the prophet Jeremiah, who was ministering as God's spokesman to a nation, the nation of Israel, is told by God to get up and go down to the house of the potter, the place where a man is employed making pottery. He said, I want you to go down there and I'm going to cause you to hear my words. So he goes down, he watches the potter do his work on the wheel, and he tells us about that in the first part of the chapter. And then in verse 6, here's what Jeremiah hears. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Israel is a nation, a society of people gathered together, and they are in God's hand like clay is in the potter's hand. And you say, well, that's Israel. That's not us. Wait just a minute. Look at verse number 7. At what instant I speak concerning a nation, not just this nation, not just your nation, but at what instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and destroy. If that nation, against whom I pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. In other words, God said, I won't follow through. If I've determined to pull them up, tear them down, pull them down, pluck them up, destroy them, but they turn from their evil and repent, I will change my mind. But then he said, verse 9, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it and plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. You want to stand on guard for Canada? Then you better get concerned for righteousness. You better be involved in righteous living. God said that if I have spoken to tear down a nation, but that nation turns from its evil, I will let it be. But if I've determined to build a nation and cause it to be exalted, to rise, and yet it do evil in my sight and obey not my voice, I will repent of the good which I said I would benefit them. You may not agree with this statement, but I say it with absolute 100% conviction. Canada is not headed for judgment. Canada is right now under judgment. I don't have time to study it with you, but you and I are experiencing the judgment of God in this land in which we live. We are still free, but we're under the judgment of God. Say, Pastor, how can you say that? Have you read the book of Hosea? Have you read Romans chapter 1? In Romans chapter 1, God said, everything that can be known about me is known two ways by man. It's known in his conscience, and it's known in the creation that he sees every day. But men don't want to retain me in their knowledge. And because men did not want to keep me in their knowledge, but they reject me, they begin then to make themselves other gods and begin to serve them. And the ultimate end of that, according to Romans chapter 1, is that God says, I'll give them up. And what God says he'll give them up to is what's happening in our land right now. It's what's happening in the land to the south of us right now. North America is being consumed by incredible immorality and incredible increase and multiplication of perversion and wickedness. And if you know what the Bible says, that is a result of idolatry. Idolatry is turning away from God and making yourself another god. When men and women in a nation do not acknowledge God, but become gods unto themselves or make gods like unto themselves, the end result will always be, it always has been, and it will always be an increasing immorality and ungodliness and perversion of which there is no end, and it will ultimately destroy that people and that nation. History bears solid testimony. What is righteousness? Well, according to the dictionary, righteous means right. Acting or being in accordance with what is just, honorable, and free from guilt or wrong. Now, if you're able to keep up with me, you can turn to these passages. But again, for time's sake, it might be better if you jot them down or this is being recorded. You can listen to it later. But let me run through a couple scriptures with you very quickly. Psalm 11 and verse 7. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. So what do we learn about the Lord? Two things. He's righteous. And because he's righteous, he loves righteousness. Are you with me? The Lord, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, is righteous. And he loves righteousness. No wonder righteousness exalts a nation. Because God is righteous and he loves righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Again, the declaration that the God who created us is a righteous God and his judgments are upright. In other words, the root of that is right. They're the right judgments. Psalm 145 and verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. He's not just righteous. He's righteous in everything that he does, every way that he takes. He's holy. He's set apart in all of his works. Psalm 119 and verse 142. Thy, speaking of God, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. If you have, if you're in a habit of marking in your Bible, you ought to underline that, circle that, highlight that. Thy law is the truth. Jesus agreed with that because Jesus in his prayer to the Father said, sanctify them, the believers, the disciples, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The law of God is the truth. He's righteous. He's good. He's right. And what is true is what's right. What is error is what's wrong. And God is righteous, and his law is therefore righteous or right or truth. Now listen to this. Psalm 98 and verse 2 says, the Lord hath made known his salvation. Watch. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Not in the sight of the congregation of saints, but he has openly showed his righteousness in the sight of the heathen, in the sight of those that know him not. They are now without excuse because they can know him, and he has revealed his righteousness through his law and through truth. So, let me move to this and give you a couple of things that you and I must do, understanding righteousness and understanding that righteousness exalteth the nation, if we would truly stand on guard for Canada, if we would truly rejoice in watching her rise. Here's what we must do. Number one, you must believe in the Lord. You must believe in God with all your heart. That's number one. Say, Pastor, how do you say that? Genesis chapter number 15 and verse 6. So then Abraham believed in God, listen, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was a sinner. All men are sinners. None of us are without sin before a holy and righteous God. But this sinner was confronted with the reality of God. He believed in God and put his faith in God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was put on his account as righteousness. He is given the righteousness that God alone can give on what basis? His faith. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe and embrace the God who has revealed himself as the creator of all mankind and the judge of the universe? Do you believe the God of the Bible? Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 15 and 16. In one verse, he says eternal life. In the next verse, he says everlasting life. Who gets that? The one who believes in him. Have you believed upon God? If you believe upon him, it's counted unto you for righteousness. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It seems awful simple, but I'm saying, do you want to stand on guard for Canada? Then do everything you can to get the citizenry of Canada to believe in God. Tell them about God. Tell them who he is. Share with them what you've learned about God. Help them to come to know the God who is their creator, because it's the people who know God who have put on their account righteousness, and it's righteousness that exalts a nation. But that's just where it starts. Number two, if you and I would stand on guard for Canada, not only must we believe in the Lord, but we must keep the way of the Lord. Again, about Abraham, God says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19 that he would command his children to follow him. Watch and keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. He would do what? He would keep the way of the Lord to do judgment and justice, to do what's right. God's blessing upon Abraham and upon his seed. And by the way, what was the promise God made to Abraham? In thy seed shall all the nations, there's that word again, of the earth be blessed. In thy seed. Why? Because Abraham believed in God. And number two, because God knew Abraham would keep God's way. All the ways of the Lord are righteous, we read a moment ago. And holy are all his works. He would keep the ways of the Lord. He'd be righteous. He'd be just. And would exercise right judgment in the earth. And the verse says that God would bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken, in thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. This idea of keeping the way of the Lord, you know, it's the same word when the Bible says that God created man, he put him in the garden, he said, keep the garden. Keep it. It's the exact same word. And in the Hebrew, it means to guard, to observe, to give heed to. So a gardener protects his garden. He looks at his garden. He inspects his garden. He is careful for his garden. He takes care of his garden. So if we would be a nation that is exalted, if we would be a nation, if we would stand on guard for Canada, we not only need to believe in the Lord, but we need to keep the way of the Lord. We need to do what's right. We need to be obedient. We need to do justice and judgment. And in that way, we're protecting our nation. In that way, we are blessing the nation. In that way, we are pleasing the Lord. You know, in our national anthem, we say two things. We stand on guard for thee, but we also say, God, keep our land. God's not going to keep the land that does not keep his way. The man who will keep, when Adam and Eve failed to keep the way of the Lord in the garden, God drove them out, and then he put an angel with a flaming sword, cherubim, actually, the Bible says plural cherubim, and a flaming sword to keep, there's that word again, to keep the way of the tree of life, to guard, protect the way of life. We need to be an obedient people. Does it matter how you live? You better believe it does. Does it matter whether you tell the truth? You better believe it does. Does it matter whether you're honest? Yes, you better believe it does. Does it matter whether you're faithful? Yes, you better believe it is, because God is righteous. God is just. God is a God of judgment, and we must be the same. Could I take you for a moment to Psalm 106? Fearing slightly that I may overstep my time doing so. But you ought to be glad that at least I'm aware of that. Psalm 106, verse 10. I wish I could read the whole psalm, but in verse 10, he, that is God, saved them, that is the nation of Israel, from the hand of him that hated them. Who saved them? God did. And redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Look at verse 12. Then believed they his word and they sang his praise. Yeah, I would too, wouldn't you? You get saved, you get redeemed, you get delivered from the enemy. That's a reason to sing. They believed in God then and they sang. And I go back to the day of my salvation and that's the way it was. But notice the next verse. This is also my testimony. They soon forgot his works and they waited not for his counsel. Verse 28, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor. That's a false god. That's an idol. And they ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. In other words, they believed in God, but they soon forgot about God and stopped following in the ways of God, stopped doing the right things that were right, And so they angered God, and a plague broke in. And by the way, 24,000 people died in that plague. Now, verse number 30 says, "Then stood up Phinehas." Here's one of the citizens of the land. His name is Phinehas, and he executed judgment. We don't have the time to go there, but this is all in Numbers chapter 25. The children of Israel were involved in great immorality. Like I told you, when you depart from the Lord, there's nothing left but to go into immorality, because you leave the right, you leave right and wrong, and you just begin to live a wicked and licentious life, and that's what happened. And one day, God is angry, and God has got a plague going on, and a man brings a heathen woman into his tent in the sight of the whole congregation. And they go into the tent and are engaging in illicit relationship. And Phinehas, one citizen of the land, says, "That's enough. That's not, no. This is where it stops." He took a javelin, he walked into the tent, and he stuck the javelin through the belly of the man and the woman while they were committing sin before the God of heaven. And the Bible says, immediately the plague stayed. No one must die. And you know what the Bible says? Look at it. If you're there, maybe you didn't turn there. Psalm 106. "Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment." He did what was right. "And so the plague was stayed." Watch. "And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore." It was what? Counted to him for righteousness. He's not a perfect man. He's a sinner. He's in a nation that's being judged for sin. But because he decided to stop and do something that was right, God said, "I'm putting righteousness on your account." And by the way, not just your account, but on your family's account for every generation. Listen to me. You don't think it's important to do right? You don't think it's important to obey God? And when you fail to obey God, sin against God, to fall before God and confess your sin and forsake your sin, you don't think that's important? I'm telling you right now, you can't do anything better for the succeeding generation of Canadians than to be the kind of person God wants you to be. You can't leave any richer or more lasting legacy for your children and for the children of your neighborhood and for the future generations of Canadians than to live a righteous life. For God not only counts it to you for righteousness, but in Phinehas' case, he counted it to him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. The blessings of the righteous man descend to future generations. And I can't do anything better for my nation or for my family than to keep the way of God. One more thing and I'm done. And I've got a whole lot more, but I don't have time. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. So I need to believe upon the Lord if I'm going to stand on guard for Canada. Because God counts that to righteousness, and righteousness exalts a nation. I need to keep the way of the Lord, because God counts that for righteousness, and righteousness exalts a nation. Isaiah chapter 59. You should read the whole chapter. But I want to read beginning in verse 9. And let me ask you, doesn't this sound like Canada today? "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for the light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there's none. For salvation, but it's far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." The one who wants to do right and says, "I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to participate in that wickedness." Everybody's out to crucify him. Everybody thinks he ought to be put in jail. Everybody thinks he ought to be put in an institution somewhere.
he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now watch. And he saw. God not only saw there was no judgment, so they're not walking in the ways of the Lord. He saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. You know what you can do to stand on guard for Canada? Pray. Intercede. Care. Look at your country and listen to the headlines and read the paper and weep and say, this is my country. How can this be? How can we treat people that way? How can we disregard life? How can we turn the truth upside down and call evil good and good evil and pray and plead for the nation? God wondered. There's nobody to intercede. Therefore, his arm, and this is a prophetic reference to Jesus, who's the arm of God, who brought salvation. So God brought salvation. God brought an intercessor in Isaiah chapter 53, just a couple verses earlier, a couple chapters earlier in verse 12. He made intercession for the sins of many. He's our intercessor. Watch. He saw there was no intercessor, so his arm brought salvation and righteousness, and his righteousness has sustained him, for he put on the righteousness as a breastplate. Where have you heard that before? Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Protect yourself with righteousness, righteous living, not only believing in God, but living in the ways of the Lord. And a helmet of salvation upon his head. There's believing in God. There's your salvation. And then clothe yourselves in righteousness. Those two things are necessary in the battle. And then pray. Intercede. Ephesians 6 says, having done all, praying always with all prayer and all supplication, and watching thereunto with all saints. Pray. When was the last time you prayed for your country? When was the last time you prayed for the Prime Minister? When was the last time you prayed for the members of Parliament, the members of Provincial Parliament? When was the last time you pled for the teachers in your city? When was the last time you pled for your mayor? When was the last time you said, God, this is not right, and you know it's not right, and I want you to know it's not right, and I don't agree with it, and God, I'm doing my best to live for you, and I'm pleading with you that you'll change the heart of my country. You'll change my family. You'll change my nation. There is only one hope. It's God. Righteousness is exalt a nation, and it is God who is righteous, and he alone will exalt it. The psalmist said it this way, except the Lord keep the city, they labor in vain that build it. It's up to God. In our song, we call Canada the true north, strong and free. Begging your pardon, may I suggest that Canada is not the true north. The true north is God. The true north is the throne of God. That's the true north. Canada's north. We the north. We the north. But he the true north. You understand that? He's the north. Strong and free. Believe in him with all your heart. Keep his ways. Those two things are counted unto you for righteousness, and righteousness exalts your nation. And it will extend to future generations. And pray. God said, why isn't anybody caring? Why isn't anybody praying? There's no man. There's no intercessor. There's nobody kneeling beside their bed at night pleading for their country. Nobody getting up in the morning pleading for their country. Nobody witnessing the parades going on through the month of June throughout the country and going to their knees and saying, God, how can it be? God, forgive us. Don't hold our sins against us. God, they know not what they do, like Jesus did on the cross. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to leave in just a moment, and I'm going to go prepare to baptize. I'm begging you right now. I'm begging you to forget everything around you. And for the next 5 minutes or so, just spend time with God. Often we start our service praying corporately together, but that now I want to end the service that way. Some of you might want to come up here to the altar, kneel across the altar, kneel at your seat, or just bow your head in your seat.
But I'm begging you as a congregation, let's spend the next 5 minutes or so just pleading with God. Number one, confessing your sin, asking God's forgiveness, and helping you to do right, to be righteous, to be just, to do the right things. So pray for yourself and for your family. And then if you would, pray for your nation. That's what we're going to close this service in. And then in just a moment or two, we'll be ready to baptize, and we'll baptize before we go home. If you're in this room and you don't know God as your personal Savior, you've never been saved, you can't qualify as a righteous person because righteousness has never been put on your account, I beg you before you leave today, if you'll speak to me, I'll be happy to take the time and have someone else take the time to show you how to be saved today, how to settle this issue for all of eternity. That's the most important thing, that you believe in God with all your heart. Then commit your way unto the Lord. Do righteous. I'm going to ask the pianist to go to the piano, and she's going to play just something softly while we pray. But I want you to not be distracted by the music. But would you pray? Just pray. Our country's in trouble. We're not facing the judgment of God. We're in the judgment of God. The wickedness abounding around us is a sign that God has given up. But at what instant he speaks concerning judging, if that nation will repent, turn from their evil way, he will repent of what he thought to do to them. Let's plead for God's repentance, for God to change his heart in our country. Every head bowed and every eye closed, and you meet with the Lord. And when he feels the time is right, Pastor Tricky will take it from here as we prepare to baptize.